So just to get us thinking about the topic for this evening, the topic that I've chosen for this evening is loving one another, though none of us is perfect. And I think we're spotting that there's some handouts on the tables. There's pens, there's Bibles. The main passage we're going to be looking at is on the handouts. If you're someone who likes handouts and likes to take notes, feel free. If you hate that, just ignore the handout and roll with the evening. So I've chosen this topic very much to help us as we live in the book of Philippians this term. I hope you've picked that up. We're doing Philippians on Sundays and in growth groups. And as you'll know, Paul was encouraging the church in Philippi to be united as a church family. And for some, that wasn't the easiest thing. If you've read the whole book all the way through, you may not have. In chapter 4, there are two women who are named as not agreeing. And he tells them they need to start getting on with each other. And so clearly they weren't finding it easy to love each other. So they weren't getting on very well. They weren't perfect. And I wonder, as you've come here this evening, what your expectations of church life are. We know church is a place full of Christians. And Christians are meant to be like Christ, aren't they? So I guess we hope and we expect people to treat each other well, to love one another, to be the family of God together. But I wonder if you've ever been disappointed with other Christians. Maybe you found them less to be like Christ than you expected. Have you ever felt misunderstood at church? Or hurt, or left out. Maybe you've even thought, these people are no better than my non-Christian friends. Maybe you've even had the sad experience of leaving a church in the past because you were so badly treated. And I wonder if you've ever found yourself disappointed with yourself as well. Maybe you've hurt someone at church, or you've regretted your own behaviour in some way, or lost face. I know I have. And I wonder if you've ever thought, well, could I really recover from that in this church? You know, I'll never really be part of things now. They'll never let me move on from that. And maybe you've even drifted away from a church because you felt you couldn't show your face there anymore. It turns out that church life is maybe not as straightforward as once we maybe thought. And I wonder why that is. Well, I think we know the answer, don't we? Why is that? It's because none of us are perfect. We're just sinful people, aren't we, who have a great Saviour. So we know, don't we, we trust he's transforming us into Christ's likeness by his Spirit through his word, but that's going to take a lifetime. So we're not perfect yet, and neither is anyone else in church. But I think the encouraging thing when we come to think about this subject is that when Jesus told us to love one another as Christians, and he said that was going to be a key way that other people could tell that we were his followers, actually he knew that we weren't perfect. He knew that when he called us to this. He knew he wasn't calling us to love people who are easy to love. And he knew that we're not easy to love either. But he called us to it, nonetheless. And I think it's wonderful that we can know that he did it himself. So he has loved us, the unlovely people. He went to death for us because he loves us, as we've seen in Philippians. And he came to live in us by his Spirit to enable us to grow in loving like him. To enable us to say and do that wonderful truth that we're seeing in Philippians, for me to live is Christ. And I think that the fact that he prompted his apostles to write so many passages in the New Testament about how to love suggests that we're going to have to learn how to do that. So I find that encouraging. He knew it wouldn't be easy. He knew we'd need help, and he's given us what we need. So this evening we're going to look closely at one of those passages on love. It's a really famous passage. You might well have heard it spoken at weddings. It's often used at weddings. But actually, in 1 Corinthians, it's actually about loving each other in the church. So we're hopefully going to learn about growing in loving one another, though none of us is perfect. And I really hope that we find this this beneficial to meditate on these things. And I hope that we can continue to meditate as we go our separate ways at the end of the evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Well, it's a wonderful passage, isn't it? About what love is. And these are well-loved verses in the Bible for good reason, and famous verses. And if you've got your Bibles open, it says down at chapter 14, verse 1, to pursue love. So the Apostle Paul told us to pursue it, so to chase after it, seek wholeheartedly to be a lover, to be someone who loves. And just to give you a bit of background, why did he say that to the church in Corinth? Why were they finding it hard to love? Well, the Corinthians had a problem. And although they were Christians blessed with many spiritual gifts, they'd forgotten that they needed to exercise these gifts in a loving way. So they'd forgotten that loving one another, loving others, though they're not perfect, is at the heart of who God is. So it's to be at the heart of who we are as his people. And that might be something that we've forgotten, or we find hard, or maybe something that we haven't realized yet, that actually loving those who are imperfect is at the heart of who we're to be. So we're going to take a bit of time looking at these verses now, and we're going to do it a little bit differently. So later on in the evening, I'm going to be speaking a bit more from the Bible, but in this part of the evening, we're going to be helping each other and teaching each other. So what I've done is I've written these different characteristics of love that are on your sheet out on some big bits of paper that you might have noticed coming in on the tables at the back there. And what I'm wanting us to do is all get up and basically gravitate to the characteristics that you would like to think about a bit more, and to write down whatever we can think of on the sheet about that characteristic. So let me give you an example. The first one, love is patient. We could write down, and I've put this on the sheet, we could write down ways that we think about how Jesus was patient, or how Jesus is patient. We could think of examples we know of people being patient when it's been hard to do that. We can think of examples when we've been like that. And rejoice. I'd really like us to sort of celebrate and rejoice when we can see examples of that happening. Or we could write down ways that we think we could grow in being patient. Maybe to think of patterns of behaviour or thinking to repent of. And we could write that on the sheet. Now, I'm not asking you to write your name and to say, this is me. It's all anonymous. So the idea is that we sort of pull lots of ideas together, and then I'm going to sort of show us all them and sort of chat through them a wee bit more. Does that kind of make sense? So I'm going to give us quite a long time to do this. So we're going to have 20 minutes to just mill about, to think. I'm not expecting that everybody will write something about every characteristic, but just that we spend some time doing that, and we can chat to each other while we're doing it. Does that kind of make sense? Is that? Maybe you didn't think you're going to have to work like this evening, but hopefully it can be fun to do it together. Good. So it'd be great if you could open your Bibles so that we could look at the passage round our main verses. So we've thought about some aspects of loving one another, though none of us is perfect. And I wonder, I looking at all that, I mean, I'm very encouraged by all our thoughts on it. And I hope it's encouraging to know that we all struggle with it, but we're seeking to live this way. But I wonder too if we feel a bit overwhelmed sometimes about how thinking how much we need to grow in this. And I wonder if maybe we're tempted to think, well, love is pretty hard to do, so maybe I'll just focus on other things I know I can do as a Christian. Maybe leave love to people who are particularly good with people or something like that. It's kind of tempting, isn't it? But I want us to see that actually that's not a valid option for the Christian. We need to pursue love, as Paul told us, first and foremost. And so we're going to look at these verses around our passage to see that. So I think what I'm aiming with this is for us to see really how important it is to pursue this kind of love, even though it's not easy. And after that, we'll have some time for questions and then some time to reflect more and pray. So if we look down to chapter 12, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the very last verse, I'm going to read that and the first bit of chapter 13. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So Paul here is showing the Corinthians and us a more excellent way to live as God's people. Did you see that in verse 31? And I will show you a still more excellent way. You'll remember that I said earlier that the Corinthian church were blessed with lots of spiritual gifts from God. But it seems they'd forgotten a key thing. So they'd forgotten the importance of love. God hadn't given them the gifts for their own benefit, but for the common good. So if you look back with me at chapter 12, verse 7, just on the opposite page, chapter 12, verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So spiritual gifts are not for one's own benefit, but for the benefit of everyone else. And he's told them it's good to desire spiritual gifts. That's a good thing. But you mustn't forget about love. It's a still more excellent way. So if you're following on the outline, I've put point one there. So I think from these verses, what we're seeing is something like this. So gifting and sacrifice without love don't make me someone. Put that in inverted commas, someone, you know, someone great. So gifting and sacrifice without love don't make me someone. So it's good to have spiritual gifts from God, and there's all sorts of different ones listed there in chapter 12. And it's good to sacrifice for God. But if I don't use my spiritual gifts in a loving way, and if I'm not sacrificing for God out of love, then I'm not the great someone that I think I am. Look with me at chapter 13, verse 1 that I just read. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, what am I? I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Just a noise. Nothing more than that. And then verse 2, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge. Wow, pretty great things to have. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Wow, great faith. But have not love, I am nothing. So a person can be gifted, a Christian can be gifted, knowledgeable, full of faith, and yet nothing in God's eyes. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? And if I deliver up my body to be burned, seriously, wow. But have not love, I gain nothing. I'm not the someone that I thought I was. I mean, doesn't this blow your mind? I have to admit, in preparing this, I was like, goodness, this is amazing stuff. So I can look really spiritual to other people, speaking in tongues, prophesying, really knowledgeable, full of faith, massively sacrificial, and even giving up my life for God. But if there's no love involved, it does me no good, and I'm not the great Christian that I thought I was. That tells me something about how important love is, doesn't it? Now, let's not hear this wrong. It's not, these things are all great things to do. So tongue speaking, prophesying, sacrificing for God, etc., etc. These are all great things. But if love is missing, they're a waste of time, and I'm not as great as I thought I was. I was trying to think of something to kind of a parallel, some sort of parallel. And I was thinking about, we often, don't we, hear about people who grew up in a very privileged environment. So they had everything they could have wanted materially. But often we hear them saying, I just wanted to know my parents loved me. You've heard that? The things they had were good, but love was missing, and that made it all meaningless. So there's a bit of a parallel there if you see it. I guess we've been learning this in Philippians, haven't we? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what Christ did in leaving heaven to rescue us. So instead of holding on to his reputation as the Son of God, he deployed his power and his position for the sake of others, to rescue us. He had love, as these verses talk about. So how can we bring this to us, to our situation and our hearts? Well, I wondered if we might think about it this way. Let's take the if I's. So in this passage, there's lots of if I have, whatever. So we could take the if I's of these verses and think, well, how would I finish that sentence? What gifting or sacrifice impresses me? Maybe in myself or in other Christians. What makes me think I'm something or someone else is, some other Christian is someone? So what could it be? If I show great faith in God, or teach my Sunday school class really well, or give lots of money to the barge, or know my Bible really well, or sacrificially give my time to someone else, or have a really deep relationship with God, or give a Bible talk that people like. You know, it could be anything, but have not love. You see, I don't know what it would be for you. And so maybe we think it's okay to hold on to bitterness against a sister here in the church family. Maybe we think it's okay to not really forgive and truly reconcile. Maybe we think it's okay to envy others their God-given gifts or their position as we see it in the church family. Maybe we sacrifice grudgingly. Or maybe we hold on to the position we feel we have in the church family for dear life. Or maybe we're quite pleased when a sister in the church that we don't like so much is brought down a peg or two. Maybe we have not love at times, and yet we think it's okay because of our gifts or because of our sacrifice. We need to remember, don't we? Like the Corinthians did, we need to remember that gifting and sacrifice without love don't make me someone. So I hope we can see that's a first reason to pursue love and really make that the thing we pursue. So let's look down to verse 8 now, just after our central passage, to find the second reason to pursue love. And I'll read it again. So, verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three.
but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So I think what we're seeing in these verses, and the second point's there on the in the handouts, gifts are temporary, love lasts forever. Gifts are temporary, love lasts forever. So the gifts that God showers on his church just now are just for now. They won't exist in eternity. They won't be needed. Whereas love will. Love never ends. Have a look down with me at verse 8 and 9. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Do you see? So all these good gifts from God for his church now, prophecies, tongues, Bible knowledge, they're just that. They're for the church now. They won't last. They won't be needed in eternity. Why? Well, it says, for when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So in heaven, this is talking about in heaven, we'll all know God fully. Our relationship with him will be unhindered, will be free, complete. Can you see that? So look at verse 12. Now I know the second half. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. So we won't need prophets, tongue speakers, and Bible teachers. I'll be out of a job. And we'll see all of these things now as, verse 11, childish ways, compared to knowing God in eternity. It'll all seem like looking in a not very good mirror, verse 12, compared with the face-to-face of God, with God in eternity. Wow, that's really amazing, isn't it? But what's the thing that will never end, even into eternity? Well, look at verse 8. It's love, isn't it? And in verse 13, even when you think of faith, hope, and love, wonderful, necessary things for the Christian life, the greatest of these is love. So I think that Paul's argument is that doing the thing that is both for now and eternity, i.e. love, is showing, it's how you show you are really spiritual. It's how you show you're really godly. We could say that love, rather than gifts, is the mark of being part of that eternity with God. Now again, let's not hear him wrong. He's not saying the gifts God gives now and the sacrifices God helps his people to make in his service are not important. He's just helping the Corinthians and us put them in their proper place relative to the top priority of love. And we can understand that, can't we? There are plenty of things in life where, in times in life where we have to sort out the priority of one thing over another, aren't there? So it could be, I have some work to finish, but I need to eat dinner. Both are important. We might make different judgments about that at different times, depending on how hungry we are. If you know me, in my case, hunger normally trumps most other things. Or it might be something more significant, like my good friend is ill and needs visitors, but I have a busy job, or children that need me. How much time can I go visiting my friend who's ill? You know, we have to work out these priorities, don't we? So we understand things that are both important, but something becomes the top priority at different times. So that's kind of what's going on here. So what about us, thinking of ourselves as Christians? What's our top priority? Are we living as if our gifts and our knowledge are the most important things? Or as if loving one another, though none of us is perfect, is the most important thing? You know, are we living as if our gifts will last forever or our love will last forever? And I really hope that we're inspired this evening that love is the most important thing and encouraged to persevere and grow in doing it. Focusing on loving one another is essentially selfless, isn't it? And that's what we've been learning about in Philippians, isn't it? To have this beautiful, selfless mind of Christ. And we were thinking a couple of Sundays ago about how that's the mind that God honours. And we see it in God, don't we? So God, the Father, made loving, imperfect people his top priority in sending the Son to rescue us. And the Son, he made loving, imperfect people his top priority in obeying his Father and coming to rescue us. And we make loving, imperfect people our top priority as we have the mind of Christ that he helps us to have. So I think that means, doesn't it, that our faith and our church involvement is no longer all about me and my gifts, and it really becomes all about pursuing love for others, though they're not perfect and though I'm not perfect. And I really want to say that, as I said at the last women's evening, I really do see signs of this in our church family. I see women not thinking about themselves but working at loving others, imperfect though they are. And I think it's wonderful to see women letting go of hurts, forgiving, being patient with one another, assuming the best of others, not holding on to resentments. And if that's you, keep going. It is the right focus. It's hard, and I think we've seen this evening, we know it's hard because neither we nor others are perfect, but it is what it means to walk as Christ walked and to have his mind. And if this is new to you, or you know it's not really the lens through which you see your faith or your church involvement, can I really encourage you this evening to change your focus and to see that love is the thing that will last forever? It's the top priority. And when it's missing, our apparently spiritual acts actually are nothing. And I would really ask you as well to pray for me in this. It is a daily challenge, isn't it, to be Christ-like? And I, you know, I'm aware, speaking about these things to you this evening, I'm one who has a desperate need to grow in loving others in the way that we've been thinking about this evening. So do pray for me too. And let's all pray that as a family of believers together, we can grow to truly love one another, though none of us is perfect. Let me pray. Father God, as we look at your word and we see who you are, we see that love is the top priority, and it's the thing that you do and that you want us to develop as we have your mind. So we pray that you would teach us to pursue love, to pursue love for one another in the church family, as well as love for others, for everyone that we meet. But we pray that we would grow in being a loving community that reflects your character. Father, we know we can't do it on our own. We need your Spirit to help us, so we ask him to help us this evening. And we pray that we would more and more be transformed into Christ's beautiful likeness as we love one another. And we pray in his name. Amen.